Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
It's time for another edition of the Brett Allen Show.
It's go time, you and me.
Join us weekly for the latest pop culture interviews from your favorite TV shows, movies, comedians, and so much more.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, it felt good.
Plus, you never know who will drop by.
What happened here was a miracle.
Now, here is your host.
I said throw down, boy.
Welcome to the nice main event.
Brett Allen.
Welcome in, everybody. Thanks for watching and listening. Comedian Ellie Hino is on the show today. The Brett Allen Show. We're excited to talk with her. She is hilarious, and she has a special coming out here very soon, her debut comedy album, Soft Bones. Now, is it on Blonde Medicine or 800 Pound Gorilla? Blonde Medicine.
Blonde Medicine, yep.
So how does it feel to have this coming out? Congratulations, by the way, and
thank you
for hanging out. Yeah, that's a really big deal.
Thank you very much. It's so fun. I'm really excited to have an album. I can't believe it's happening. When I recorded it, I wasn't sure if anything would come of it, but now that I have Blonde Medicine on board, it's all going great. And it's available everywhere April 5th.
That's amazing. So how did the relationship come about between you and Blonde Medicine? Because they are great. They, I feel like, provide a really good platform for comedians who don't necessarily, you know, have the industry power. Not that you don't necessarily, or
no, I don't.
Whatever the case might be, to allow comedians who are talented and have the material to be able to release something, and get it out for fans and people to become even more familiar with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was pretty cool. I first was connected with them. A friend of mine who recorded with them long ago, Kate Willett, she's great. She she hooked us up with an initial intro, and I talked to them a couple few years ago, and I was like, I'm kind of interested. I don't know if I'm ready, but you know, I don't even know how any of it works. And they were so nice and talked to me for like 45 minutes, just telling me how it all works when you put out an album. And then I sent them like a long set of mine, and they were like, well, love your material, keep working on it. And okay, so I did keep working on it. And then I had a show coming up that I felt would be a really good time to record, and it just felt right, but it was kind of fast, and so I didn't want to try and get a label on board beforehand because it was just too quick. I had like 2 months before the show or shows. Oh, okay. Over a weekend. There's a really great room here in Minneapolis called Sisyphus Brewing, and they have like a whole separate comedy room that seats about 90 people. It's perfect. It's great. And so I recorded it and had it all pretty much mastered and edited and everything. There's not much editing, but and then I wrote an email to Blonde Medicine and I said, hey, I kept working and here it is. You want to put it out? And they did. So
that's very cool. I mean, it has to be gratifying in a way. And also, I would say affirming too, you know, because all of your hard work is now been validated in a sense by somebody that wants to take it and put it out. I mean, that has to feel good too, I would imagine, especially in an industry like yours that there's just so much content, but now you have found your place in the race and have been very successful with it for sure.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And Blonde Medicine is great. The best, most like validating moment for me was we were having some photos done for the cover and for promo. And I said, how does this work with the money? And they were like, oh, we've got everything from here on out. And I was like, oh, they're putting their money behind this. Like they must like it at least a little.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I'm Minnesotan. I need a lot of outside validation.
Well, I think anybody in the creative arts, part of why we do this is for validation, right? I mean, in some way, shape, or form. I mean, it's a pretty much a given, you know. I mean, we do it for fun and because it's fulfilling, but also deep down, there's a part of us that craves that.
Yes, you're right.
Which is okay, because I mean, especially as a comedian, like it's, I would say, one of the most instant validating feedback related things you can do, because you can either have a good night, an awkward night, or a bad night, and you know, like right away, right, how it's gonna go for sure.
Yep. You're already talking to yourself during the set about how you're gonna feel afterwards in your car and thinking, I'm just gonna let it go, but you're still in the middle of it.
No, I understand. Well, I think what you do is fascinating, and we've talked to a lot of comedians on the show and comedy critics and people who work through all of this and just are fans of comedy. So I want to know, like, for you, how long have you been working on this material that you released, and about at what point did you know that you had enough to move forward, or felt comfortable enough to move forward and pursue this initial contact to record and put this out?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing comedy on and off for a very long time, and I did sketch comedy and improv, and then I came back to stand up, and then it was after a couple years of doing stand up, you know, for fun, that I said, I'm going to really start trying. And at that point, I think some of these jokes that are on the album or stories are that old. Like, there's one, honestly, that's at least 8 years old, I would say. But it had gotten put away for a long time and then brought back out. And I, like, it was a, there was one in particular that was like a 5 minute story, and I never had a good ending. I mean, I tried a million different endings and they all worked fine, but none of them seemed, you know, worthy. It felt like it really needed a great something at the end. And I finally found it the month before my recording. So it was like, oh, great. Good timing. So I mean, some of it was only a couple years old. Okay. But all of it was probably at least a year old before it went on the album. But most of it was more.
Well, that's really cool and super exciting for you. So now that you've got this, do you tour now with these jokes promoting the album? Or do you start a whole new 45 minutes, a whole new hour? Like, you know, what happens next?
Yeah, I mean, the goal is to start working on the next hour, and I do have new material, but like one person asked me, so do you have a whole new hour then as soon as you're done recording? And I was like, no, I'm just a nice lady in the Midwest. I'm not a famous person. So when I go and do a show, there might be a couple people in the audience who've seen me before, or maybe 10 tops, but it's going to mostly be people who've never seen me before. So yeah, I'm still going to do some of this material that's on the album while I keep trying to write more until I do have another 45 or hour.
The whole process is just so fascinating to me, because it's like you get up there, you tell your jokes, you make people laugh, but all like the other stuff behind it that people don't see, I think, is the most fascinating part. Are you a sit down and write every day person? Do you? No, not at all. That's okay. I mean, I'm just wondering.
No, I mean, I wish I could get myself to do that. I think about writing every day. I procrastinate every day. Yeah. I write down ideas when they come to me, and then a lot of my writing is actually done with my husband. We collaborate. He's a copywriter, and he has a really quick, like, punchline-y brain where he can just take things and be like, bah, bah, bah. Whereas I'm more like, I have this idea and like the emotion behind it, but I can't quite figure out what it is. And so we'll just riff together until we have some funny stuff. And then I'll start writing down some stuff so I don't forget it. But yeah, and sometimes I'll sit down and actually write. I don't usually type when I'm writing comedy for some reason. I usually like scribble it out, but like word for word, and then that never ends up being what I use. I'll go back and go, what is this? Let me figure out what this actually could be and piece it together. It is writing stand-up is so it's so personal and it's so different for every comedian. But I used to write sketch comedy, and I was part of a sketch group that, pardon me, at the Brave New Workshop in Minneapolis. It's kind of like Second City. So we would put on a new show like every 3 months. And so that meant that we'd sit down and brainstorm for a couple days, start writing for a week, then start editing. And, so we wrote a whole show in like a couple of weeks, like an hour and a half of material. So to have a 5 minute chunk take so long to get where I want it to be feels lazy to me, but it's just a different process. It has to go. I can't just write the punchlines and then just go do it. It will feel very contrived and acted, and it's just a different form. And so it does take longer, and that has always felt strange to me, but
Do
yeah.
you feel that your sketch background helps you though when it comes to writing and putting material together?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's like basic storytelling stuff and knowing how. I think I also, even more than the writing, I think the stage experience and just the stage hours that I logged, holding for laughs and learning that rhythm. Of how to ride laughs and what I, even though working with a crowd in stand-up is totally different and far more connected. But I think that helped me a ton. And yeah, I think that it gives me a confidence that I can sit down and write if I have to. That's not usually where my best stuff comes from, but if I need to.
I love it. Well, it's so cool, and I listened to the album. It's great, and I
Oh,
think
thanks.
that you have a lot of great material, and I think people are going to enjoy it. So, I want to ask you, have you been to Colorado at all and performed? I'm just curious. That's where I'm at.
No. Oh, you
Okay.
are. Okay. No, I would love to go to Comedy Works and the Fort. There's
Yeah,
lots
they're
of
all
great
great
places.
places for sure. So you've got this out now, you're working on new material. We talked about this idea of the validation part, but when you are feeling stuck and maybe not feeling that way and in a creative rut, what is the best way for you to break out of the funk, just as a creative in general? Like what do you do to get the juices flowing again, so to speak? And keep yourself going, Ellie.
I think one part of it has been, like I said, it always feels like I'm being lazy. Like I don't, why don't I have a new hour? I've had a whole year. I should have a whole new hour. Could write an hour in a year, but also kind of just accepting that it's a really slow process, especially for me, is okay. And that I like having things. And I like polishing them and I like working on them until they're really what I want them to be. Accepting that helps. And then putting some time aside and just saying, okay, you have to go and like sit down and write. Or having the best for me, because I'm a procrastinator, is to have a deadline. So to do those shows where they are like, everyone has to do 5 new minutes, or you're going to get a topic and you have to write something totally new. And some people will go in and be like, I'm just doing my old thing. But I'm like, no, I have to, because otherwise I won't ever do it.
I
So
love it.
some of my favorite stuff has come from, there's a show here called Punchline Punch Out, where they give you a topic like 24 hours beforehand and you're supposed to have 5 minutes on it.
Yeah, they do a lot of shows here locally in Loveland, like open mics, and they do this thing called the Jar of Jest where people can put topics in and then the comedians come up after they do their four or five and then they have to riff on that topic, which is always fun to watch because it's just so fascinating and entertaining. Well, one last thing I want to chat about here. You do something on Thursday nights where you co-host, I believe it's called Darlings with Ben yep. Katzner. And it's a weekly showcase of local and national comics. Zora Darling in Minneapolis. Talk to me about that. What is that about? And how did that sort of begin for you?
Well, I have never produced shows. I've been like this whole time I've been trying harder as a comic. I've had a little kid at home. So I'm like, you guys produce them. I will just show up and do my time and leave. But this one was kind of all set up. And then my friend Ben was like, hey, I need a co-host. Do you want to do it? You don't really have to do anything else. And I was like, that sounds perfect. So it's great, though. It's in a really great restaurant that everyone says has a very New York vibe. And it's in an event room in the back that's kind of just like a big black rectangle that feels not too big, though. It feels like the back of a punk bar. You know, it's simple, nothing flashy, but like it looks like music would be played there. There's a stage, there's folding chairs. It's $5. It's very chill, and it's awesome because it's at 9 o'clock, which is, you know, not awesome when I have to leave at 8 p.m. and it feels like it's the middle of the night.
You're like, I'm ready for bed.
I know. But it's a really good idea. Ben said, you know, that Ben Katzner, he's been in New York for a while and he just moved back here. And he was like, I know a lot of the national headliners that are coming through town. Sometimes they might want to pop in on a Thursday night after a set, or if they're in town a night early. And then we can have some cool drop-ins. We had Shane Torres drop in, and Jordan Carlos drop in. And yeah, so hopefully we'll have more of that. And it's a time for locals, like local professional comics who maybe it's not their only job, maybe it is, but that they get to do some longer sets. So okay. that they do like 10 to 20. So it's not just a bunch of little 5 minute, they get a little time to have a nice longer set and work on some stuff. And it's fun.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on all of this. Your debut comedy album, Soft Bones, on April 5th, Blonde Medicine, will be available to stream everywhere. And you've opened for some great people, Maria Bamford, Dana Gould, Bobcat. Do you have a favorite that you've opened for?
Maria Bamford.
Yeah, she's great.
She's my fave. I've looked up to her for over 20 years, probably. And I got to open for her at a big theater in Minneapolis, and it was a big highlight for me, for sure.
Awesome. Well, Ellie, thank you so much for hanging out today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening and being a part of today's conversation.
Thank you!
If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. It's absolutely free.
Of major proportions.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
And remember, we care.